T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Right now, though, the situation that has come up is a playmaking situation from NFL Network. Always good to have him here on 95.7 The Game. Michael Irvin joins us on the Damon Bruce Show. And, Michael, it's not just me today. I've got Ray Ratto hanging out this afternoon, and it's good to have you again. How you doing, man? And let me say,
I'm doing well. Enjoying whatever we call off-season is in the NFL, you know. And they make sure it's not really an off-season, because right after the Super Bowl in February, they spread it out. They get something big in every month. And, of course, we just went through the combine as we turn over to March and get ready for free agency. So you know, it's that off-season that's really never off, to tell you the truth.
You're right. It's a 365-day sport. And I was going to say, you know, happy birthday. That's why we didn't get to talk to you yesterday. That's a big day of the month for you.
Yeah, it is a big deal. You know, I tell all everybody now. You know, my college number was 47. I stopped taking years. I stopped taking numbers at that age, at 47. Now I'll still take the happy birthdays, and I'll take all the gifts. If you have gifts you want to give, I'll still take those on this day of the year. But no more counting. Those days are gone.
There we go.
I'm 47 forever. That's what I'm going to be. I will be 47 forever. So don't ask, well, how old are you now? I'm 47. I'm already telling you.
The playmaker, the Hall of Famer, Michael Irvin here on 95.7 The Game. So, look, we have talked about Antonio Brown with you. We've talked extensively about what a talent he is. He has put up so many red flags with his interviews, with the blonde mustache. Like, you put all of it together, and I'm looking at a lot of red flags, including quitting on his team. And I'm not as excited about Antonio Brown as I used to be, and it feels like more NFL teams are feeling like me than less like me. He is not doing himself many favors when he sits down to do an interview.
And I think it's a shame. I really do. And I'm not talking about just from Antonio Brown's standpoint. I'm talking about from all of our standpoint. I mean, let's be real here. Antonio Brown's been playing football for a long time. And only now are we running into all of these so-called Antonio Brown's the worst guy in the world situation. I mean, he's put in the last 6-7 years of 100 catch seasons, and we hadn't had these issues. So what it is, and I'm certainly not saying Antonio Brown don't bless some of the blame for what he's going through and what he's doing and the way he's talking and everything. But we have to also sit back and say, wait a minute now. We've had the last 6-7 years of this. We haven't heard anything about Antonio Brown being the worst demon in the world. Now, all of a sudden, he's the worst demon in the world, and I think the truth lies somewhere between both of them.
Well, you were also a player who got demonized maybe more than your share, maybe just your share, but you caught it as well. What did you learn about the NFL system and how it deals with players who operate outside the box in which they want you to operate?
And that's exactly what I'm talking about, Ray. That's exactly what I'm talking about. Now, we have this system set up, and I think Antonio Brown's trying to kick against the pricks here, trying to kick against the wall. You know, it's okay if quarterbacks do any of that. It's okay. That's just the quarterbacks. It's just the leader, you know, and all of this that the GM talking about. And, Ben's the only leader. Ben didn't do any of that shit when he won the Super Bowls. He had other leaders on his team, like Jerome Bettis. I'm not hearing people talk about this. Hines Ward. And I never heard him call those guys out. I never heard him have one word. So maybe their problem is that they got the wrong kind of guy being the main leader in their locker room when they had the right kind of guys before in that locker room. And they're turning too much power over to a quarterback. But it's okay when a quarterback does all of that. We'll make excuses for him. We'll get off of it. We'll talk about it. But we don't crucify him like we're doing Antonio Brown. And I think that's totally not right. And honestly, Antonio Brown has all these good years in. Well, we haven't heard a problem about him. I haven't heard anything about him, except this year when Ben has been so open about calling him out as a man and calling him out as a player and placing everything on him. He's trying to defend himself. And maybe he is doing a poor job at explaining himself because he doesn't communicate great in a great way like all of us do, but then we break down everything he says as opposed to taking what he has done over the last 6-7 years of his career. And I say some of us should be held to a better standard and should be better at that than we are.
That said, given the fact that the NFL has never been particularly sort of, the word I guess I'm looking for is tolerant toward people who operate outside that framework, how many teams, and I'm not talking about talent or money against the cap, how many teams are emotionally equipped to deal with an Antonio Brown and what they think he brings, good and bad, into a room? Because everybody agrees he's a great pass catcher. Everybody agrees he's asking for more money than the Steelers want to pay. That's easy to dismiss. What I'm talking about is how many teams are saying, you know what, we can deal with him and be right when they say so.
I think, and that's why I'm saying what I'm saying, if I'm in that examination area of Antonio Brown, I'm not just going to focus on him talking now as opposed to not focus on the last 6 years that he's put in this league where we haven't heard a peep and all we saw was great play. I'm going to lean and say, well, maybe there's something that has rubbed him so wrong and he's trying to explain it. I was talking to somebody who somebody says they're a big Colt fan. Yeah, I'm a big Indy fan. And, you know, Frank Wright, he was saying he won't bring anybody in the locker room because they were talking about Le'Veon Bell or Antonio Brown. Won't bring anybody in the locker room unless, you know, they fit the locker room. I said, well, don't be so shallow and don't be so closed to that. Because, honestly, you got a coach that knows how to feed a dog. Pittsburgh had a coach that knew how to feed a dog, and you want a dog on your team. You want that guy that will bite everybody on defensive side, that knows how to bite and knows how to go for a football. You just want you a dog feeder. You want your coach to be a dog feeder. Todd Haley was a dog feeder. If you got a dog feeder coach, which Kyle Shanahan is, because he had a dog in Julio Jones, he knows how to feed that dog, then you take a chance and say, I'll go this way. If you don't got a dog feeder on your team, then don't take that chance. You know, I want the intensity. I want the energy. I want all of that. I just want to use it for me and not against me. I thought he said something in that interview, you know, when he talked about getting the ball to him in the first quarter early on in the game. Who do you know? Jerry Rice, Sterling Sharp, and Tim Brown, Michael Irvin. All of us say that same thing. We just had coaches that were dog feeders that knew how to get them ball in the first quarter. Now, all of that intensity will be working for me. If I don't get them that ball that first, second quarter, some of that intensity may work against me. You just got to have – I don't care where you're not going to find the great one that doesn't have it in him. That's how he became that great, because he has it in him. Now, how do I use that to my advantage and not let it become to my disadvantage? Like all of a sudden this year with Ben running the show, because he's run everybody else out of town, it's coming to a head, and I'm considering all of that when I talk and think about Antonio Brown.
Michael Irvin here on 95.7 The Game, the Hall of Famer. You know, I want to ask you about Kyler Murray, who obviously had a good enough combine for his stock to reach to the point where they're talking about he might go number one overall. But you, Hall of Fame wide receiver, I want to ask you about DK Metcalf. I mean, if you wanted to draft a guy to get off the bus not wearing a shirt first, that's the guy. How about him as a wide receiver?
Wow. That's all I could say is, wow. When you saw that dude, man. When I saw that dude, man.
Yoked. Yoked.
Hey, D, listen, man. I was like, this is a wide receiver. Wow, this dude is, he's ripped, cut, ran a 4.33, jumped over a 40-inch vertical. I'm like, this is incredible. This is incredible. I'm telling you right now, as I thought through it, I said to myself, if he plays at the line of scrimmage, shoulders down, he will be unstoppable. Now, if he plays chest up, he's going to have problems. And that's that the only thing, if I'm him, that's the only thing I'm working in. He's a, and, you know, he's so muscular that he's a little stiff in some areas. But in today's game, with all his spread sets and all, you can work around that. He's not as fluid as I would like him to be. But boy, if he could bend at the line of scrimmage when he comes off that line of scrimmage, if he knows how to bend, then everybody that comes up on him and plays him with that kind of acceleration and that kind of strength, it would be impossible to stop. What a phenomenal, phenomenal talent that dude is, man. It's just a matter of finding the right system for him and putting him in the right place, and he could be one of the great ones.
Michael, what do you think of Jason Witten leaving the Monday Night Football booth to restart his career with the Cowboys? What did Jerry Jones sell to him to do that?
There's a lot of ways that could have gone there, man. I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of ways that could have gone. You got to think about Jason Witten, who's had a perfect career, you know, and everybody loved him because he plays on America's team, and he came out of nowhere and built himself up with a lot of hard work. I thought about it. I was like, wow, this must have been such a difficult year for him also, you know, with all the, animosity that went towards him from his work in the booth. A lot of people talked about him in a lot of different ways, and they were not all pleasant. And I know he's not used to getting that kind of criticism. So for him to have an opportunity to come back to football, I said, bless him and thank God for him. You know, now he's able to get back to what he does and not have to deal with the demons that have been stalking him in the booth. And I think the Cowboys can use him. You know, the Cowboys can use him. He's still one of the better blockers in the game. He caught 63 passes his last year in the NFL in 2K17. And if he can catch 55 passes or 50 passes and make 40 of them on third downs and that's 40 more first downs for the Dallas Cowboys, it will make a huge difference for the Dallas Cowboys because they had a lot of issues on some of those third and shorts. Because everybody stacked the line of scrimmage and said the only asset you have in this situation is Ezekiel Elliott, and we're going to stack the line of scrimmage. So now with Witten, you can block them or you can release them and let them pick up their short yards.
The day that the combine ended, Kyler Murray was considered a mortal lock to either be the first pick or the guy who would get the most draft picks for a team down the draft to take. A day later, there were already questions about him interviewing poorly. Given the fact,
Eric, I was watching that Cashley interview.
Yeah. Given the fact that that's sort of the standard after the combine, which is you're great on Sunday, and come Monday, there are nine people ready to tell you why you suck.
I know it.
Yeah. I mean, what are we to take from any information at the combine? If that's the reward, which is we're going to wait a discrete amount of time, maybe 12 hours, before we start tearing your game apart. What are we to believe about any of it then?
And everything comes hurling in at these kids, too. It's bizarre. You know, I got a chance to talk with Kyler at the combine just for a brief moment, you know, and just trying to gauge what I can gauge in this brief moment. I worked out with him when he was a younger kid. Me and my son, we were running routes, and him and his dad, they were out throwing the ball, so we kind of came together and we worked out a little bit together. And I thought the same as you guys are thinking. Wow. One day, because he measured that half an inch, if he was 5'9", we would have rained hell on him. We would have rained hell on him. I don't know, 5'9", no way, but he was 5'10", and 1'8", and we rained heaven on him. Oh, what a great thing. He's 5'10", that's big enough. It's amazing what that half inch here or there counts for in the NFL. And then after you know, Charlie Cashley gave that that interview, and you got to take Charles Cassidy at his word. I mean, it's one of the greatest that ever did what he does. You got to know he has some people within organizations that he can talk to. Now, we don't know which organizations those were that said these things and all of that, but when it all came down and everybody started coming out talking about it, I said, wow. Man, imagine that process is it's just an incredible, incredible process. You build a kid up and you tear him down. And that's the one thing I tried to share with him. I said, hey, man, keep the confidence through all of it now, because they are about to run through you. They're about to run through you with a fine-tooth comb, every little thing, and everybody will have an opinion on your ability. So just got to keep your head up and get through this process.
What's the worst thing you heard about yourself after your combine performance?
Well, I didn't get to go to the combine.
Oh, you weren't a combine invite?
I didn't go. But when I came out in 88, back then you had to graduate. I came out after my junior year of eligibility. So, you know, you had to graduate early to the league. So I was a junior. I graduated, and I declared for the draft. And they were not bringing juniors to the combine at that time. They didn't start bringing juniors to later on. But so I had to wait and wait to my pro day to do my workouts. And you know, that's one thing that even when I do go, when I go now, since I work every year and I get to go there, that's one thing, like when I hear people say, well, I'm not going to do this, I'm not going to do that, I run a 40, but I'm not going. I was like, I don't know how you can do that. You know, one of the kids there, A.J. Brown, that's in a couple years ago with Jarvis Landry, you know, Juju Smith-Schuster. You could tell. I don't only see what you do physically. I want to see how you handle being on this field with this kind of talent. Mentally, I want to see how you talk about it. You know, I want to see if you say, come on, man. Oh, I'm the best out here. I want that dog that we were talking about earlier. I want that dog. I saw that in Jarvis Landry. I see it in the Juju Smith-Schuster. I saw A.J. Brown. He was the only one coming out talking about, oh, man, yeah. All right, y'all talk about y'all want to see me in Red Rocks. Watch it. I want to see that you have that kind of dog, so I know that you got some kind of bite that I can use. So, yeah, I look at all of that stuff.
Michael Irvin, the playmaker. Final question for you here, Michael, and it's not even a football question. It's a state of the world question. Adam Silver was having a conversation with Bill Simmons, and Adam Silver was talking about how he noticed the palpable unhappiness with some of the brightest stars in the NBA. Now, I don't know if palpable unhappiness describes players in the NFL. Players in the NFL don't have the almost nightly media commitment. They can keep it to a once a week thing. But there's no doubt that media, players, athletes, star athletes, have more contentious relationships now than ever before. As you look at it, why is it happening like this? Do you see this happening? And are guys, you know, retreating into social media feeds and forgetting how to talk to each other after team meetings or on the bus?
You know, so many years, and I remember the years that we would go through all of these conversations and meetings where people say, hey, this is part of the game. This is what helps us be able to make the kind of money we make playing this game. Because these people, you know, the media helps you sell the game and gets people more interested in everything. And you understood that. I don't know. Maybe these guys now, maybe it's just making so much money, they figure, hey, and we got our own social media. When I have something to say, I'll put it on my Instagram. Why do I have to deal with all of these people? I don't understand it. I've seen all the Kyrie Irving situations talking about the media. Saw him the other day walking in as I'm watching, getting ready to watch Boston play. I won't miss this part of the game when it's over with. You know, it's a necessary. I don't want to call it necessary evil, because it's not that I'm in the business, but I've always enjoyed it. I enjoyed the game. I enjoyed people selling the game. You want to talk about me playing the game? Go ahead. I have no issue with that. Now, I do think that we tend to go over and lean over into the personal things too often, sometimes, as we do in the media. But if you're keeping it to the game, absolutely, man. Let's talk about this all day, because I'm going to be one of the best of it, one of the best at it, and I want you telling everybody I'm one of the best at it. So I had no issue with it, and it has changed quite a bit here lately.
if Michael Irvin in the prime of his career had Twitter as a vehicle to use, would have you used it for do you think it would have been a good thing for you, or would have been the gun that you actually shot yourself with?
Hey, that's exactly what I was about to say. Sometimes your greatest asset can be your greatest liability. You know, you got to be careful with it. It could have been a great thing for me, but also could have been a great asset and a great liability. Things work out like they work out because they work out perfectly for everybody. God said he'll never put more on you than you can bear. He knew I couldn't bear, so I didn't play in that time, and I appreciate him holding true to his word.
If Antonio Brown is moved by Friday, do you have a prediction as to which team might make the move for him?
I do not. I do not. But I tell you what, whatever it is, you're getting a dog. You're getting a dog. And if you can drown out some of the noise that's going on right now and all of that and understand that obviously he's been hurt. I was kind of shocked when he said that was the first time he had ever met with the owner. I was like, what? Are you joking? Jerry Jones? And I had millions of meetings with Jerry Jones talking about our football team, talking about what direction we want to go in and how we want to win Super Bowls. And what do you think it takes, Michael, to win Super Bowls? That's an inclusive attitude. So, obviously, he's hurt, and I'm with you guys. I don't think he's doing himself a great deal of favor in trying to explain his hurt because a lot of people won't get it but obviously are not getting it. But I'm telling you, when you talk about playing football, just a beast.
Michael, fantastic stuff as always. Thank you for joining us. And one last time, happy 47th birthday.
Yeah, happy 47th. I appreciate that, man. I appreciate that, D. And really nice chatting with you too, buddy.
Yep.
Thank you very much, the Playmaker.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.